Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Parikshit, Cursed by a Brahmin Boy, Text 11. Rishaya Uchahu Suta Jiva Sama Samya Shashpatir Vishadam Yashaha Yas Tvam Samshasi Krishnasya Martyanam Amritam He Naha Rishaya Uchu Suta Jiva Samasamya Shashvatir Vishadam Yashaha Yastam Shamshasi Krishnasya Martyanam Amritam Hinaha Rishaya Uchu Suta Jiva Samasamya Shashvatir Vishadam Yashaha Yastram Shamsasi Krishnasya Martyanam Amritam Hinaha Rishaya Uchahu Suta Jiva Samasamya Shashvatir Vishadam Yashaha Yastam Shamsasi Krishnasya Martyanam Amritam Hinaha Rishaya Uchu Tasiva Samadamya Sadir Sastam Yatha Shaya Uchu Sutta-jiva-sama-samya Rishaya Uchu Suta Jiva Samya Asatya Vishatamisa Vishasya
Vaishnavis.
Rishaya Uchu Sita Jiva Sahasanya Rishaya Uchu
Vishaya Uchahu. The good sages said, Sutta, O Sutta Goswami, Jiva, we wish you life for. Samaha, many years. Samya, grave. Shashvatihi, eternal. Bishadam, particularly. Yashaha, in fame. Yatvam, because you. Shamsasi, speaking nicely. Krishnasya, of Lord Shri Krishna. Martyanam, of those who die. Amritam, eternity of life. He, certainly. Naha, our. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The good sages said, O grave Sutta Goswami, may you live many years and have eternal fame, for you are speaking very nicely about the activities of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. This is just like nectar for mortal beings like us. Purport. When we hear about the transcendental qualities and activities of the personality of Godhead, we may always remember what has been spoken by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita 4:9. His acts, even when He acts in human society, are all transcendental, for they are all accentuated by the spiritual energy of the Lord, which is distinguished from His material energy. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, such acts are called divyam. This means that He does not act or take His birth like an ordinary living being under the custody of material energy, nor is His body material or changeable like that of ordinary living beings. And one who understands this fact, either from the Lord or from authorized sources, is not reborn after leaving the present material body. Such an enlightened soul is admitted into the spiritual realm of the Lord and engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, the more we hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord, as they are stated in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the more we can know about His transcendental nature and thus make definite progress on the path back to Godhead. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Srila Prabhupada in the purport refers to Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjana. So, Lord Krishna is explaining to Arjuna that if one understands his transcendental birth and activities in this world, then, and if he understands that fully and factually, then one is qualified after leaving the present material body to return to the spiritual world and exist there eternally with Lord Krishna, engaged in his Nitya Leela, his eternal pastimes. Of course, we're not in that position now. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Ichcha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata. Because of being overcome by the desire to enjoy independently, motivated by envy of Krishna, Sarge Yante Parantapa, we are placed in the material world. And here we have two options. We can either become more and more deeply involved in trying to enjoy the material energy independently from Krishna, or we can try to return to our original position. Jivaras Rupahoi Krishnara Nityadas, Lord Chaitanya explains, the eternal constitutional position of the living entity, of the jiva soul, is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. But we've forgotten that. And to help us remember that, Krishna has come into this world not only in the form of his transcendental eternal body, but in the form of his holy name, Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. And he's also come in the form of his literary incarnation, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the other Vedic literatures. The principal Vedic literatures are called Shruti. That means they're eternal sound vibration. Anavrti Shabdat, the Vedanta Sutra says, one becomes liberated by transcendental sound, by hearing transcendental sound. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno, hearing and chanting about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his glories, his name, his associates, his abode, his pastimes, and so forth. So, in many different places, Srila Prabhupada states that of the many processes of devotional service, hearing is the primary one. So that is the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement, to give people the opportunity to hear the holy name of the Lord, to hear the pastimes of the Lord as they are recorded in the Bhagavad Gita, to hear the teachings and instructions of the Lord as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita. So, Dharma Swanishtasat Pumsa Vishvaksena Katasayat Nopadiyat Yadiratim Shrama Evi Kevalam. Dharma. Everyone has some duty. In this material world, we have manufactured so many duties. based on our identification with our material bodies. There is actually a system of Varnashram Dharma, where according to our status in life and our occupation, we have different duties to perform. We can be situated in the Brahmachari Ashram or the Grihastha Ashram, the Householder Ashram, or the Vanaprast Ashram, the Retired Life, or the Sannyas Ashram, the Renounced Order of Life. So there are different types of dharma associated with those different ashrams. And then there are the different varnas. We may be engaged in the dharma of being in the brahmana order. That means teaching. And we may be in the kshatriya order, which involves protection and administration. Or we may be in the Vaishya Varna, involved in cow protection and banking and trade, things of that nature. Or we may be in the Varna of the Sudra, an artisan or worker assisting the other Varnas in their duties. So people sometimes get distracted by these dharmas associated with our bodily existence in this material world. But in Bhagavad Gita, at the very end, Krishna recommends Sarva Dharman Prityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo, Moksha Yashami, Masuchaha. Just abandon all of these other dharmas and simply surrender unto me. Of course, elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord recommends Stane Stita Shrutigatam Tanvan Manobir. Stay in your position, whatever it is, and simply try to engage your mind, body, and words in the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvado bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata tajoshanad ash apavargavartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. The best situation for hearing is in the association of devotees. Then the hearing becomes very concentrated. Now, Srila Prabhupada would often say, hearing means you have to concentrate your mind. If you don't concentrate your mind, you may give the appearance that you're hearing or listening. But the real hearing begins when you concentrate your mind. And his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, noted of Srila Prabhupada when he encountered him that this boy likes to hear. So Srila Prabhupada was very fond of that statement by his spiritual master that, yes, this boy is very good. He likes to hear. And he explained once, Srila Prabhupada explained once, Bhaktisiddhanta would divide his followers into two classes. The first class he called the Dandavat class, and second, the hearer class. So, yeah, some people, they just come, they pay their dandavat, but they don't hear. They don't listen, and therefore they don't make very much advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's just an external show of external show. But others, they actually want to hear. So this is necessary. Note padiyat ratim. If we perform our duties in Krishna consciousness even, but we don't develop an attraction for hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing the Bhagavad Gita, hearing the holy name of the Lord, then Shrama Evi Kevalam, it's all a waste of time, that verse says. So, Satam Prasangat Mamavirya Sambhado, hearing becomes very much concentrated in the association of devotees. And Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishati, by hearing, one develops faith. And it's this faith that allows one to advance in Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami says, Adau Shraddha, Tatha Sadhu Sangha, Tato Bhajana Kriya, Tato Nish, Anartha Nivritti. Anartha Nivritti comes next. So, first there's some initial faith that one has. Let me see what these people are up to, these devotees. Let me hear what they have to say. And then one enters the association of devotees and begins to hear. And because of that hearing, one begins to follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. And by serving the spiritual master in the association of devotees, anartha nivritti syat, one begins to become freed from unwanted things, the anarthas. And when one becomes freed from the anarthas, one gradually develops nishta, firm faith. Shraddha Ratir Bhakti. So first, faith develops from hearing. Then Rati means attraction, genuine attraction to Krishna. No longer do we have attraction for anarthas, unwanted material activities and desires. And then, finally, bhakti. When one becomes attracted to the process of devotional service, attracted to the process especially of hearing about the glories and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then gradually it becomes revealed to one what one's eternal relationship with Krishna is, so that one can perform bhakti, pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddhi Chitti Karya Udai, that love for Krishna, prema, is eternally there in the heart. It's simply become covered over. It's not that love for Krishna has to be imported from somewhere else. It's there. It's covered over now, but it can be revealed, this verse says, Shravanadi Shuddhi Chitti, by hearing principally and the other activities of devotional service. This eternal love for Krishna, that is the real nature of the soul, can be uncovered, can be revealed. So we're hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're reading this verse about how the sages are addressing Suta Goswami in the Naimisharanya forest. You know, the sages headed by Shaunaka Rishi are putting questions to Suta Goswami. It's a very key event. You know, there are so many discussions going on in Srimad Bhagavatam. There are conversations within conversations within conversations. But the root conversation of the Srimad Bhagavatam is this discussion between Suta Goswami and the sages at Naimisharanya. And there's a little bit of history given in the Srimad Bhagavatam why it is that it's Suta Goswami that is there addressing, who is there addressing the sages. He is the son of Ramaharshan Suta. Ramaharshan Suta was a sage who had responsibility for the transmission of the Puranas in human society. So, he was given a position of speaking to the sages when they assembled at Naimisharanya. He was given the place of honor. But Balaram went on pilgrimage. He could see that a big war was coming on between the Kuru dynasty and the Pandavas. Of course, the Kurus were headed by Duryodhana, and you know, the Pandavas were headed by King Yudhisthira, and Krishna was basically on the side of the Pandavas. But Balaram, he had some relationships with some of the members of the Kuru dynasty. So he decided he didn't want to become involved in the fighting. So he went in the fighting that was coming. So he went on pilgrimage. And one of the places he went was Naimisharanya. So he saw the gathering of sages there and he entered it. And everyone recognized him for who he was, the personality of Godhead, the brother of Krishna. And they paid him respects. But Ramaharshan Suta, who was sitting in the place of honor, thought somehow or other, I don't have to pay respect. I'm in the respected place, so I don't have to offer respect to Balaram when he just enters the assembly. So Balaram became, as he sometimes does, a little bit upset. And he considered that it is my duty to correct this person for his offense. Not that he took it personally, but he just understood that, yes, it's my duty to instruct human society by dealing with this person in the way that I think fit. So, with a blade of kusha grass, he killed Ramaharshan Sutta. But the assembled sages told him, actually, maybe you shouldn't have done it like that, because he's a Brahmana, you're a Kshatriya. So Balaram said, taking a position of respect to the Brahmana sages, said, I'll atone for it. You just tell me what to do. And the sages told him, well, here's what we want you to do. We respect you for who you are. So we want to keep your killing of Ramaharshana, but we also want you to atone. We want you to kind of satisfy everything. So Balaram said, okay, the Shastra says that the son is equivalent to the father, that the father takes birth in the son. So Ramaharshan's son is his equivalent. So we can keep your honoring of Ramaharshan Sutta by giving his son the place as speaker about the Puranas, and in that way everything will be adjusted. So the sages accepted that. Then they also suggested that Balaram go visit some places of pilgrimage and perform further austerities. So he did that. So there's a history why Sutta Goswami is the speaker to the sages at Naimisharanya. So the main point, however, from this purport is that we should develop an attraction for hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, hearing the pastimes of the Lord, hearing the instructions of the Lord, hearing the holy name of the Lord. And this hearing should be from the proper persons. Avaishnava Muhodgirnam Putam Harikatam Ritam Shravanam Naivikartavyam Sarpochista Yatapayam. One should not hear about these things from the Avaishnavas, those who are not properly situated as Vaishnavas. The warning is that it's like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. Milk is a very good thing, but if it's touched by the lips of the serpent, it becomes poisonous in its effect. So we should hear about the pastimes of the Lord from the Vaishnavas, the pure Vaishnavas in the line of disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam. Yeah. I was thinking about something else. Lord Chaitanya, in his conversation with Ramananda Roy, asked, what is the most important topic for hearing? And Ramananda Roy said, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So we want to become qualified for that. Now, Srila Prabhupada says in his purport to that verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that ultimately, yes, that's what we want to hear about, but we should do that when we have come to the platform of anartana vritti and become freed from unwanted desires and attractions, and we have developed some rati, some genuine attraction to the practice of bhakti yoga, of devotional service. So I'll stop there. Any comments or questions? Ananda Kirtan.
Okay. I've been here when someone was giving Bhagavatam class, and their Diksha Guru came in during the class and sat down and listened to the rest of their class. So what's the that story with Ramaharshan Sutta, what's the proper etiquette then? If your spiritual master walks in, are you supposed to get up? Are you just supposed to pay obeisances in your mind? What do you do?
Good question. So, the situation is a devotee is on the Vyasasan giving a class, and one spiritual master enters. Should one pay respects or not? I would think if I were in a class, I were giving a class, and Srila Prabhupada walked in, I would acknowledge it. I would say maybe this has to be discussed by the GBC and whatever. It's a good question, but it would seem from the example that one should in some way or other acknowledge the presence. Archita.
I have a question. I could comment on this previous question, but I have a question of my own, so what would you prefer?
Does anybody have any illuminating comment to make about the question?
Yeah, I could say something about that.
Okay,
there are two mistakes you can make in offering respect. You can offer too much or not enough. It's always better to make the mistake of offering too much. Even if somebody says it's too much respectful to get off the Vyasasana and pay your obeisances, it's better to make that mistake than the other mistake of not doing it. That's my opinion. Now, my question was about the chronology of what the story that you presented about Balaram and Ramaharshan Sutta. It seems a little bit off. We know that Sutta Goswami heard the Bhagavatam when it was discussed between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. He was present in that assembly. So that was obviously after the Battle of Kurukshetra, because Parikshit survived the attack of Ashwatthama after the Battle of Kurukshetra. But here you're saying that Balaram was on pilgrimage because he wanted to avoid the war. So it doesn't seem to gel. Maybe you can shed some light on that.
I'm not sure I understand the exact nature of your question.
Balaram came into the assembly where Ramaharshan Sutta was supposed to speak at Naimisharanya because he was on pilgrimage to avoid the Battle of Kurukshetra.
Right.
Well, Maharshan didn't pay his respects, so he killed him, and then he installed Sutta Goswami. But we know that Sutta Goswami heard this whole conversation between Shukadev and Parikshit because he was present at that assembly. That's where he heard the Bhagavatam. But that happened after the Battle of Kurukshetra, because Parikshit survived the Battle of Kurukshetra. He survived Ashwatthama's attack, which came after the Battle of Kurukshetra. So it doesn't seem to gel.
No, I'm not necessarily saying that immediately after Romaharshan Sutta was killed, and immediately and continuously Sutta Goswami was present there. But sometime afterwards, yes, he heard from Shukadev, who was his instructing spiritual master. And after that, he was in the position he's in now. So the basic sequence of events is there. I didn't say, and neither does the Bhagavatam say, that immediately after that event he was put on the Vyasasan, and that information isn't given. Does that satisfy? Or is that
well, like you say, it's not so clearly presented in the Bhagavatam. Maybe in some other Purana, but in the Bhagavatam, it's not so clearly. Because it does seem confusing. Unless Balaram continued his pilgrimage way after the war was over, which is possible. He could have just stayed on tour. But on the surface, it just doesn't seem to jive.
Well, he didn't stay on pilgrimage until way after the war was over. He went to Dwarka after having gone all over, and he heard that the battle was still going on, so he went. He went to Kurukshetra to stop the fight between Bhima and Duryodhana, who were doing some club fighting. And when he arrived at Kurukshetra, Krishna and Yudhisthira and Nakula and Sahadev, they're like, what's he doing here? You know, he's supposed to be on pilgrimage. What's he want? So they didn't say anything to him. They just said, obeisances to you. And so Balaram went to the fight, and he tried to convince Bhima and Duryodhana to stop. He said, neither one of you is going to win this fight because you're equally matched. One of you is stronger than the other, but the other is more expert in using a club. And he said that because Bhima was very, very strong, but he himself had trained Duryodhana how to fight with the club. So he said, neither one of you are going to win. Neither one of you is going to win or lose, so you might as well just stop. But they didn't listen to him. They continued. So he wasn't on pilgrimage until long after the war. He kind of finished his pilgrimage just at the very end and went there to try to stop that fight, but he wasn't successful. The Bhagavatam says he just understood it to be fate, Krishna's will that they continue fighting.
It wasn't that they just continued fighting. Actually, Krishna gave the order to Bhima that if he wants to win this fight, then he has to hit him below the belt, hit him in the thighs, and he can kill him that way. But as he was saying, neither could win, but because Duryodhana was not protected in this way, he had gotten some protection from his mother. But and I won't go into the story except to say that he had no protection below the belt. Anyway, I won't go in. So that way he could kill him. And it showed that Krishna wanted He wanted Duryodhana to die and be killed. And although it was considered illegal, anything that Krishna does is legal. There's no such thing because he is the source of all morality. And in this case, we can make an exception. But the impersonalists and the strict moralists, they consider that Krishna has committed an offensive action and he violated the principles of warfare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.